Marketing is not about selling. It's not about what your audience owes you for having made something. It is and always has been good storytelling. And that's what we're going to talk about today on The Break Breakdown. Welcome to episode 12 of The Break Breakdown. I'm your host, Courtney Romano, and this is a podcast about finding your big break and how I don't even know if I believe in big breaks anymore, but finding your breakthrough moment as, for me, as an indie independent filmmaker and writer, and for you, whatever you're doing. This week, we are talking about marketing. And it's interesting. So whenever you do anything independent, you kind of put all of your attention on how to get the thing done, whether it's a book or a film or, you know, even the first episode of a podcast. The whole idea is just get it done, like get the first episode done, get the first draft done, get the first, iteration of the film done. But if you're sharing it out into the world, that's actually just the beginning of your second journey with the process. And that second journey is all about marketing. Because once you have the thing, how do you get people to see the thing? Ideally, you're creating the thing to have some kind of conversation with a larger audience. So we're going to talk about that today. I come from kind of a unique background because I do have marketing experience in the real world. I've done freelance marketing for a long time, probably all the way back to like 7 years or so. And I've done it in a variety of ways for a variety of companies. I really like marketing. I think it's kind of, I think it's fun. When it's done with a good intention and a good heart, it's really fun. When it's done in a kind of shallow way, I cannot stand it. But that's kind of my MO for anything. I can get down with almost anything if there's a good intention behind it. And if there's not, I really have no patience. And marketing, you know, as I said in the intro, it's really just storytelling. So as an artist, if you're an artist or if you're just someone who really loves storytelling, marketing is the same thing. It's just potentially going towards a more finite, clearer goal than maybe an average story that you're telling. So in all of my years' experience, there have been two quotes that kind of, I think, lay the foundation for how I think about marketing and also how I think about marketing, especially how I think about marketing my own work and my own art. Seth Godin is an incredible genius. And if you're into marketing at all, or you need to learn about marketing quick, just literally go read anything he's written at all. Subscribe to his newsletter, read his blog. Just, he has all the answers. because he doesn't have the answers, but he helps you get the answers. So the first one is from Seth Godin. The second one is from Stephen Pressfield, who wrote The War of Art. And, a few other books that have really stuck with me. So Seth Godin wrote, "People don't want what you make. They want the way it will make them feel." And Stephen Pressfield wrote, "No one wants to read your shit." And those two underlying concepts are truly the bedrock for how I think about marketing. I think as artists, we can really get caught in the whirlwind of like, I threw my whole life into this project. Why doesn't anyone want to see it? And it's because people don't want what you make. They want the way it will make them feel. And so, you know, that even means before they even watch your film or read your book or come see you in a concert, the marketing isn't even about the artwork itself. It's how you position the artwork or you position the company or brand or thing to have someone say, you know what? I could imagine having that in my life, and I could imagine how I would feel having that in my life. And that image, I want to feel that before they even engage with your work. It's what a good trailer does. You know what I mean? It's what a good book cover does. That's marketing. And then the second one, no one wants to read your shit. Yeah, you just gotta, we, and when I say you know I mean me. Just gotta remember, no one wants to read your draft of anything. No one wanted to read the draft of The Godfather, the first one, the very first one. I mean, maybe someone did, but probably no one wanted to read the first draft of Lady Bird or whatever. I mean, okay, maybe some people did in the inner circle, but could think about how it feels when someone says, can you read this? And I think about that every time I ask people to read my work, because you don't know what you're getting into as the reader, as the watcher, the listener, the viewer. You don't know what you're getting into. You don't want to waste your time, right? So what do you have to do to get someone to give their most precious asset, their time, and their second most precious asset, their attention, to your thing? So today we're going to talk about how we are currently marketing our film Screen Test. If you're on episode 12, maybe you've listened all the way through, so you know what Screen Test is about. But if you're just hopping around and you're meeting us here today, Screen Test is the short film that we just released in October of 2020. And it was done on a completely independent micro budget of $0. I mean, we spent money, but we didn't have money to spend. So it was a real grassroots operation. And this podcast is about how we did that in the finite context of how we created this one film, and then in the larger context of how do you do anything in the world as an independent creative voice. So let's dive in a little bit to the options for distributing and marketing your film. And I just want to say, if you don't create films, or you're not really sure what you want to be making, but you're just interested in marketing, I'm going to talk about film-specific things at the beginning as a kind of template and example, and then I'm going to go a little bit broader and zoom out towards the end. So when you're distributing and marketing your film, there are a few ways that you can go with distribution. The first one is film festivals. You submit it to film festivals, as many as you can afford, presumably, and you hope it gets picked up. One of the things with film festivals right now in 2020 is they're not happening live. They're all virtual. So this was a real challenge for us. A lot of times, as you submit to film festivals and you get picked up in them, the thing that is really valuable about them, it's not even necessarily, you know, the laurels that you get to put on your website, but it's the people that you get to meet at the festivals, the connections that you can make, because obviously relationships are everything. Maybe that's not obvious, but in case it's not obvious, I'm saying it with a big underline, bold, highlighted situation here. Relationships are everything. That's it. That's the magic thing. You know, how do you build relationships? You have to be out in the world. So film festivals right now, while they're really, I think they're somewhat integral to momentum building and to establishing your reputation and establishing your voice and your ethos, they're one piece of the puzzle. What can happen is you submit a short to these festivals, or you submit maybe a trailer, something that's just easily consumable and also easy to make because you don't have a budget. And you hope that someone at the festival is going to see it if it's going to be screened and is going to be interested in a longer feature length or a series or whatever. But what's interesting is, and I've only heard this because I've only gone to one festival before. Last year, a pilot that I wrote based off of my book, The First 10 Years, was a finalist in a screenwriting festival in New York. And I went to it as a screenwriter. So I wasn't screening anything that I had filmed or anything like that. But what I've heard about this is that at these screenings, at these festivals, the people who are kind of scouting out the distributors and sales agents and other managers and agents who are scouting out talent, if they can only go to a feature screening or a short film screening, they're going to go to the feature. And that makes sense. So in some ways, some people say create a short and then people see it and then they give you money to make the longer thing. In other ways, they say, like, don't even bother with a short, just make your feature, because if you don't screen a feature, no one's going to see it even at the film festival. Okay, great. So that's one way to do it. Film festivals, 50-50 shot, it works out. And, you know, I had someone ask me to talk a little bit about film festivals and how I picked them. And potentially I'll go into this a little bit later, but essentially you have to know what your goal is in the film festival, because, and with any marketing strategy, because you cannot rely on other people to implement your plan. You know, you have to have a plan that you can control to the best of your ability and then let life kind of coincide to meet you where you are. It's like that quote, who said it? I have no idea. It was some name that I don't even remember. I don't even know why I'm trying to recall it. I know I don't know it. But someone said, act and providence will move to meet you where you are. That's a paraphrase of it. Meaning, do what you can do and then let life unfold around you based on that energy that you're putting out. It will come back to you. And I believe that. So that's kind of how I feel about film festivals. And I'll talk about how I chose the film festivals that I'd submitted to a little bit later. The second option for distributing and marketing your film is to shop it to sales agents at distributing companies. But in order to do this, you kind of have to bend to what they want out of the film. And from what I understand, that happens at the beginning of the process before you even film anything, because you could say, hey, I'm going to pitch you this, I want to sell you this, and then they can say, well, that's not really going to sell unless there's a dog as the main character. I don't know, I made that up, but I also imagine dogs are popular movie stars. The other thing is I've heard that people say you really just need a good poster. Like, your film doesn't even have to be good, but if your one marketing asset is your poster, and if you have a good poster, then you can get distributed, because what are people looking at but thumbnails? And they're going to click on a thumbnail, and they're going to pay the, you know, whatever, $3.99, $7.99, whatever it is, to watch that film because of the poster. So some distributors won't even take you on or have a conversation with you unless you give them a great poster. It's so silly. I find it fascinating and infuriating all at once, which is basically how I feel about life in 2020. The other thing is people say about distributing is you need to create relationships with sales agents. So that's another kind of aspect of the film festival. Maybe you're not showing anything in the film festival, but you're there talking with people, talking with sales agents, and creating those relationships. So again, a road that you can do 50% of the work for, and then you kind of have to wait for the other 50% to fall into place. The third option, of course, is marketing and distributing yourself. It's a full-time job, and even if it is a full-time job and you're really attacking it like a full-time job, it's still going to be hard to cut through content, right? You're going to have to think about, like, do I have money for paid ads? Do I have money to hire people to help me design this, that, and the other thing? Can I design it myself? All these different things that you would outsource become your own work. And it's, I would say, from working on marketing campaigns, it's your second child. It's your first child is the artwork, and the second child is the marketing plan for that artwork. And so, you know, it's a lot of work. So what I chose to do for Screen Test was a combination of film festivals and then self-distributing for free. So for film festivals, I knew that because the film festival circuit in 2020 is kind of abbreviated, what was great about it was a lot of festivals make you premiere there, meaning it can't, your short or your film, whatever you're submitting, cannot have been released in another festival prior, and it could not be released online, and no one, and it can't have screened in a theater. But because 2020 is what it is, a lot of the festivals, I would say actually most of the festivals that I was looking into, waived that. They'll also often waive it for short films. Feature films, they have a little bit more, they have more restrictions around, but short films, they're kind of like, hey, buddy, you made a short film, so whatever. Put it up online, it's fine. So we were really thankful about that because we have submissions for festivals going through mid-2021. So that would have meant, you know, it would have been done and ready to go for like another year before anyone could see it. And part of the reason that I self-produce my own work is because I truly have no patience and I have no chill, as the kids are wont to say. So I was like, I need to do the thing that feels most aligned with me, which is get it out for free, up as soon as possible, let it just live in the world, and that's going to be where I start from. That's always where I feel most comfortable living. Let's just get it up and out and do it and build off of whatever that generates. So when I was choosing film festivals, I really tried to choose a lot of different kinds, some that were super legit and I have no expectation of getting into them or getting even feedback from them or anything like that, but that I needed to enter them. I needed to shoot for the moon, you know? So I shot my shot. But I also wanted to try some new film festivals and see if there were, you know, maybe, I don't want to say less competitive, because honestly, there's so many filmmakers and there's so many amazing filmmakers. I think everything's competitive. There's so much talent out there. So it's not really a matter of being less competitive, but I wanted to kind of broaden my horizons to say like, all right, well, what about this women's centered festival? Or what about this comedy centered festival? Or, oh, this festival has a category for mockumentaries, and that's kind of a subgenre. And that's what Screen Test is a mockumentary. So, you know, I wanted to enter those as well. So I did. And of course, I wanted to double check the submission criteria whenever you're entering festivals. Make sure that you see if it needs to be a premiere or not. And I made sure everything that I entered didn't need to be a premiere so I could post online. And then part of the self-distributing for me was, you know, the marketing strategy in this podcast. This is, you know, hopefully you've listened to these episodes in this podcast, and maybe you've now seen Screen Test, and maybe, you know, listening to my interviews with the cast and the producers and then seeing the film, maybe that has given you a more kind of robust connection with the world that we're creating. And, you know, the podcast for me is also not just about Screen Test, but what I plan on doing with Queensbird Films, which is kind of my brand identity that I'm couching these pieces under, you know. And what I want to do is democratize in any way that I can in my small part of the world, you know. Even if there are only 50 people listening to this, maybe 50 people listen to this and they think, you know what, this is not, whatever I need to do in my life, whatever art I want to make or whatever big step or big risk I want to take, maybe it's not so complicated. Maybe the answers are out there. And for so long, people have just been saying that it's behind this gate and I am keeping this gate and you have to get through me first. And maybe if this podcast and the work that we make with Queensbird Films, if those things help people understand how powerful they are to impact change and create beauty and leave something for generations that can, I don't know, lift us up in the times that we need it most, then let's do that. So anyway, that was kind of the marketing strategy for me. Not just get people to see screen test, but also create a space where, you know, I have other projects going on. So if you're a creative or you're a filmmaker or someone who has like a lot of ideas and not sure where to put the umbrella or how to put the umbrella over all of that, your marketing strategy can do that. So for me, it was a podcast. For some people, it's a newsletter. Maybe it's your Instagram feed, although you know how I feel about Instagram, so whatever. You know, there are different ways to do it. And part of my strategy is also to build my email list in the process. But here's the thing. If you're building an email list, if you're doing, you know, a podcast or you're doing a YouTube channel or you're doing any of these things, the tendency is to do everything all at once. And while some people can do that, I am a mother of an almost 2-year-old in the middle of a pandemic, and I cannot. And what I had to get really clear with myself about was the imperfection and me knowing the strategy behind what to do on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter, on Pinterest, on YouTube and Vimeo, on Medium, on getting people to review the film, on partnering with influencers, on creating events. I know how to do all those things. And right now, in the middle of the coronavirus and with the limited ability that we have to, you know, have childcare and this and that and the other thing, I was like, all right, well, what can I do now? What can I control now? And I think that's always the question, whether you're in a pandemic or not, with your marketing plan, is what can I control right now that I can get done? Because it doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to get the ball rolling. And a lot of times I think we just get really fixated on, but it's not completely comprehensive. And it's like, right, maybe it's not on Monday, but give it a couple weeks and maybe next month it will be, or it will be more comprehensive. And allow yourself in your marketing plan, whatever it is, to keep the ball rolling. You know, this is something I realized actually from self-publishing my book. I self-published my book the first 10 years, 5 years ago. And what I learned from that process was there's a certain amount of sales of the book that will just keep kind of going on their own. But every time I add another element or skip an element of my marketing plan, it's going to kind of impact the rest of my efforts. You know, if I was sending out a newsletter about the book at the time of its release, if I ended up doing a podcast with someone or doing an interview or writing a guest post somewhere on some platform, these would all feed into that initial groundwork of the newsletter, right? Because I would get people to sign up for it and then that would bring sales, yada, yada. So if you have something that you feel you can control, that you feel you can commit to, you show up to that thing and you just layer it in as you can, as you go. And the other thing I realized about the first 10 years was like, when I put that out, I had a plan around it for so long, like for a finite amount of time, because you know, you put it out, people buy it, you have your book party, you do all of the marketing things about it, and then you kind of like are done with it in a way. And if you were working with a publisher, distributor, you know, they have a budget and a team that just kind of keeps the process churning and going. And it doesn't churn and go unless you're there to do it. And I guess my point with this is that you can leave it and... what I learned from the book is like, if you leave it, like nothing is going to be as a powerful of an engine behind it other than you. So from what I've learned is that things are really difficult right now. That doesn't mean that we should stop sharing. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't try to throw all of our efforts behind getting out our work, but just choose one thing that you can show up for right now. And when the time is right and when you are feeling like you can do it, just keep adding on and know that it's going to be a long process. So don't get discouraged. I actually hate, like, I would edit that out, but just to be honest, I'm not going to be editing that out. But I hate when people are like, don't feel this, don't feel that. No, it's okay that you feel discouraged. Everyone feels discouraged. Know that that's a real feeling, but it's just what it's telling you is not true, right? It's not true that you can't keep finding ways to your audience. It's not true that you can't keep adding on, you know, the elements of marketing. Marketing, as I said in the beginning, is storytelling. So let your story evolve with you. My advice to pick for you for picking your marketing plan is to just know what your end goal is. If your end goal is to make money or make money back, you're going to take different steps than I took. You know, you're going to go to a sales agent, you're going to go the distributor route. So that's fine. That's totally fine. But you can't pick how to market your work unless you know what the return on investment is supposed to be. To find that, you know, my second piece of advice is do what feels aligned with you, but still allow yourself to push out of your comfort zone. So I felt like the podcast was aligned with me because it was something I could stick to. It's something that I could do. I could have complete control over when I have a very, I don't want to say chaotic life, but it's packed. There's not a, I have like 2 hours at the end of the day to myself. And when I get 2 hours, that feels great. That's like luxurious. So it was something that I knew I could get done. But it also gave me a great deal of anxiety when I pushed publish, and I probably got into a big fight with Greg that day when I first rolled it out the first day that it launched, because it feels really scary to do something new and to just be kind of open and, you know, and I think that's when you know that it's the right thing. You're like, this feels right and I'm scared. Here I go. And I think people understand that with whatever you choose, however you choose to market. And I think people get drawn into that. It's like you're right on the edge. You're right hanging off the edge and you might fall completely over. And I think that energy is fun energy to be around, you know, because everyone wants to push their limits. The third piece of advice I'd have is in picking your marketing plan is leverage what you already have available to you. So maybe that's relationships. Maybe you have all these great relationships and your marketing plan is literally to email everyone on your list. Okay, here, I made this film. And just let them know individually, write them a beautiful letter and say, look, this is what I made. I wanted to share it with you. Great. You know, I think that what you have to do first in any marketing strategy is look where you are and see what roads and inroads you have already established. Take the lowest barrier to entry, the lowest hanging fruit, and go for it and start there. And if nothing else, if it doesn't generate what you're looking for and what your end goal is, it at least gives you the courage and the confidence to keep going and to keep pushing your limits. Okay, I emailed this person who's my best friend, but let me email this person who I haven't talked to in a couple of years and see if they'll watch it or read it or whatever. I don't think you can really discount those small wins at the beginning, because when you're putting something out that's yours and then you're marketing something that's yours, it's a lot of vulnerability. So give yourself some of those small wins. So if you are someone who, just taking this out even broader, if you're someone who wants to share something and build a road or a place where there wasn't one before, and you're trying to figure out, how do I get people to rally around this thing? When you feel like you can't find your place, you have figured out your market. So it's kind of weird, right? It's kind of like a paradox, ironic, paradox, ironic? I think it's paradox. For instance, okay, in the podcast space, I've listened to a lot of men talk about filmmaking on podcasts, and I've learned a lot, but I've never felt part of that. Like, and part of that is because I hadn't made a film until now. I'd been on sets, I'd been an actor, I'd written things, I'd done kind of peripheral things, but I hadn't directed until now. So I'm not saying that's completely about my being a female. But I did realize in listening that I couldn't find a lot of, I couldn't find podcasts that were speaking to me in the way that I wanted to talk about film and the way that I wanted to talk about the industry. And anyway, that I don't even necessarily think that was just about men, but there is like a hyper kind of capitalist feel sometimes around artwork. And it's a hyper capitalist feel that I have participated in my life as I've created my own work. And now I'm at a different place in life. I don't necessarily believe that capitalism is going to save art. I think that it maybe kills it. And so, you know, there, I just realized, like, I couldn't find a space that speaks to that. And so that's my market. That's my corner of the market. I want to speak to that. I want to ask questions about that. So when you can't find your place, when you're like, I don't know where I belong, you have just kind of uncovered where you belong, which is right where you are, right exactly who you are, with the things that you're interested in talking about. Because when you're interested in talking about something, it translates. Enthusiasm is contagious. It's kind of why influencers were born. Although, again, like, that's a whole other conversation. Goes way deep into capitalism that I can't even get into because we're going to end this podcast soon. But all I'm saying is, when you can't find your spot, look exactly where you are right now. That is your market. I guarantee you there are people like you who want to listen or watch or do or participate or go to whatever you want to create in that space. But you have to be really, really honest about it for it to land. And if there isn't that honesty in the depth of your soul, then look, even if there is honesty in the depth of your soul, it's always going to be hard, right? So it's always going to be hard if we're judging things in the way that capitalism judges things, which is, does it make money? Is it profitable? But even so, even if it's not, if you are being completely honest about it and you are showing up to your authentic place in this world, doing so will move things for you. And sometimes it's not money. I don't know what it is. Sometimes it's relationships. Sometimes it's opportunities. It's not always cold, hard cash. And I think we just need to get our minds around that, specifically when we're talking about marketing, because if we're only ever calculating things in cash, we're missing an abundance of riches. Okay, number two, your experience is the path. Your path is not in spite of your experience, but because of it. Your path is the way. It doesn't need to be anything else. You don't need to be any smarter or better or more talented. What you are right now, where you are right now, how you feel right now is the path. There's no magic that exists. There's no answer that exists that isn't within your skull. That's why I said Seth Godin is brilliant, because he never gives you the answers. He gives you the right questions. Right? It's not ever about the answers. The third thing is, you know, you can do this. You can create something and you can market it. You can create something and you can bring people around that idea. And you know what? By the way, it's not only just about creating artwork. Sometimes it's about shifting people's minds and opinions about what you believe in and trying to make an impact in other people's lives, right? And you can do this. In the first 10 years, I'm doing that gross thing where I quote myself, but it's just like it's applicable. So I wrote, all of this stuff is made up. Everyone is just kind of making it up as they go. No one holds the answer, which means everyone holds the answer, which means I hold the answer. And the point to that quote is, you know, there are many, many obstacles to whatever it is you want to do. But anyone who is successful in getting their work out there was making it up. Like, they had different obstacles, maybe some of the same, maybe some different, but they were making it up. They were making up the rules. Who's to say you can't make up the rules? Who's to say you can't just make up the path? And I hope, let me just say, we're at the end of October 2020. So again, if you're in the future listening to this, I hope it's bright days on the other side. But right now, we're in a very tenuous, scary moment, and we don't know which way kind of the winds are going to take us in this country. But I would say that it is getting increasingly obvious that traditional pathways do not work for most people. And if you can be part of that movement of people to create pathways that are compassionate and loving and exciting and bold and community-oriented and respect-oriented, and, you know, if you're willing to put yourself out there and create space and make a space where people can come and feel connected in a larger sense, especially now when we've truly been isolated for what feels like so long, but it's been 7.5 months. If you can create that point of connection, I feel like in the future, that is going to be worth its weight in gold. Like, that is going to be the benchmark. And we'll be like, oh my God, remember when it was all about money? Look, I don't know when in the future that'll be. Maybe it's going to be 3052, but I do feel like it's coming. And if we can be on the path to get there, what's better than that? Okay, so that's my roundabout way of talking about marketing. If you have questions and you want to leave me a message, you can do so in the show notes. If you have any specific questions about what I talked about with film festivals or the underlying principles in marketing or how to pick the right marketing plan for you, please drop me a line by leaving a message for me, or leave me a message with what has worked for you, and maybe I'll end up on the podcast. And of course, please like and share and rate and review us. It really helps just market this podcast and get the word out there. The other thing that I think is really helpful, and the way that I've consumed a lot of the creative things that I've consumed, is just by sharing with a friend and getting recommendations from friends. So if there's a friend who you think may benefit from this particular episode or one of our other episodes, please go ahead and share with them. Either, you know, tag us on Instagram or just go ahead and DM it their way. As always, thank you so, so much for being here. I can't tell you how grateful I am, and I really look forward to seeing what you are going to make next. Bye.